listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hey, what up? It's like I'm Trainer.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Hey, beautiful human. Thanks for clicking on our conversation with Maude Sun. A lot to talk to him about. He has a brand new record out called Karma. Please listen to it. Also, a lot coming up for him. Plus, he has so much music in his history. Just a lot to talk about. I only met him once at Emo Night, so a lot to cover. Okay, I think he's here.
Let's do this.
Zach Sang Show.
Maude Sun. Is it weird to hear your name Derek, or does your sister or family call you by your real name?
It was super weird until like the last like year and a half. I've started to embrace that person a little bit more. I think it's, I hated my name growing up, man. I'm just gonna be honest. I absolutely hated it. The reason is that it says ick in it, Derek. And like, my name isn't spelled with an I-C-K, right? And I couldn't stand hearing Derek Ick my whole life growing up. I hated it. And so I just changed it to Maude, and I hated hearing my name forever. Like, I wouldn't tell anyone. I just started really embracing my past. You know what I'm saying? I really did.
What changes in your present to embrace the past?
You know, just like getting to the root of trauma. Therapy is a great thing. I've changed my life so much in the last, like, I wonder how many days I am. I haven't done drugs or drank alcohol in, let me tell you, let's see, 534 days.
Damn. So
534 days. And, I mean, that was the start of the change of everything. It went from, like, AA to church all in a way, and faith, and like being reintroduced into, I mean, my life has been God, and then therapy, you know, and like talking about, just, man, it's really wild how almost all of us in this world are like carrying around this suitcase filled with all these things that we don't necessarily own, but like all this trauma that we've brought along with us since we were a child. I'm very, very, I had a really heavy suitcase. Let's just put it like that. And I didn't realize it. I didn't realize the extent of it not being my fault to feel certain ways and have certain, you know, when you get to the root of trauma, it's almost like the things that have been quote unquote issues in your life become part of like your superpowers, you know?
You publicly for a very long time had this very positive music persona.
Mm-hmm.
Was that covering up or trying to, I don't know, kind of, maybe cover up's the wrong word, but like make up for what the baggage you were carrying around?
Yeah. I mean, to put it bluntly, like, yes, that's it. It's also like the, you know, it's really closely related to the whole like comedian kind of thing, you know, where inwardly you are extremely different from what you give to the world, right?
Yeah.
And I'm an art fiend, man. Like, art is the only thing that really turns me on in this world of so many mediums. But I looked at everything as like a somewhat of like a giant art project or a movie, or thinking of the things that I admired about all my heroes and bringing those things into my life instead of bringing the disturbing parts, let's say, of them, trying to bring all the positive things about them. The 27 Club, those people are like, they're all tattooed on my arm right here. You know, they're like my damn hero since I was a kid. I really tried my hardest to make it past 27. Thank God I did. But I wanted to learn from them. And I tried to make a superhero, man. And like, I don't have any qualms about it. I think that it's important. Reinvention is important. And the way that it happens is, you could never really plan out how it's going to happen. But it wasn't so much of a cover up of trying to be like a fake person. But it was really, man, I got obsessed with how manifestation worked. I got obsessed with the law of attraction. I got obsessed with all these isms of how to make life super positive. That, yeah, I focused on one side of the game, man. I focused on one side, and I was like, there is so much sad music in the world. There's so much heartbreak music in the world. I mean, for the first like half of my career as Madsen, like I didn't write a love song, right? Like I didn't write like a song about like being in love and girls. It was really like this message that I felt wasn't really being portrayed. But yeah, at the end of the day, like making terms with my past has been probably the biggest catalyst to me making the best music ever.
Well, that you go from essentially channeling, you know, you bring up the 27 Club and you take the best qualities of all of them, and then that combined with manifestation, and you're essentially creating. Are you offended by hippie hop? Like, does that term offend you, or like, how does that make you feel?
That's so funny, bro. I love you for that. Wow, thank you. At times it would have, now it doesn't. Like, I think part of it is embracing, bro. I'm 33. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to be that dude that's like unrealistic and stuck in being like, I'm a kid forever, dude. I don't want to be that guy. Like, I like growing up. But like for a while, yeah, I was like, man, all these like things that I did to brand, and I'm a changing person, constantly evolving. But one thing I hate is like, I don't like artists that refuse to play their biggest song. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like those artists, dude. I don't like artists that hate on their own music. So like, even if there's something in me that would want to, I don't think that's right, man. I really don't think that's right. So like, you know, I am now proud of songs. I have like Stoner Girl that for a while I was like, God, like it's so corny or something. You know what I'm saying? But now I'm like, man, that was a younger me, dude. Like,
was that like a more, I don't want to say positive, but like rose-colored glasses version of you? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think I've always, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, I don't think I was ever like fooled, right? I was never like fooled by like, oh, life can be perfect. I was really going at this like, bro, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, there's no professional athlete in the world that the first time they picked up their tool, they were amazing at it. It just doesn't happen, okay? So I've always known that, like, happiness is just like fucking sport, dude. It's literally the same as a sport. And I've always been like, if you can't somehow figure out how to, like, control your mind, I feel, and I don't want to mean this in disrespect because the mind is a fucker, I get it. But if you can't start to learn how to control it, there's a sense of weak-mindedness there. I mean, just believing that you can, whether or not you can, is a strong-minded person to me. So, like, you know, I like to think that life has been, I didn't have, like, this easy come up of being a child, and I didn't come from no rich family. I didn't come from none of this, like, furthest from Hollywood possible, bro, the fucking Midwest suburbs, you know what I'm saying? And like it was really just a choice, man. And at a certain point, that choice, I felt like I made my imprint. I really did. Like, I feel like I brought, like, and again, dude, I'm as I've grown up, I'm really trying to humble myself, guys. Like, I really am. speak more eloquently and with more intention. So like, I feel I left an imprint on music in the most humble way of positivity and maybe a bit of poppiness to hip hop and rap and major chords. I mean, I did 3 mixtapes and 3 EPs without a minor chord song, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really pushed this uplifting and I thoroughly believe in my heart. I don't need someone to tell me if I did leave some kind of imprint on some kind of energy and music being put there in those last 8-9 years from 2011 to 2019 or 2018 type. I really think I did bring a different element to music. So I worked hard for that. You know, I really worked to be the person that I wanted to be. And I thought that the perfect person was someone that was here to serve, to truly serve, not ever be serving myself, truly be the guy. Like, I'm not kidding, guys. I would walk into a room and leave exhausted because it was a job to walk into any room and be the guy with the fucking energy and the smile on his face and the, I want to know everything about you. Nothing's about me. Tell me everything and I'm going to be your best friend. I mean, I did that for so long and it was exhausting. But I looked at it like a sport, man, and I think I got to the major leagues in that, and I loved to reinvent, and I felt it was time to, bring in this vulnerability. Let's talk about these things that I ignored for so long, because as a human, like, it's fun to watch people evolve, and dude, I was hypocritical as fuck at points in my career, absolutely. Just being like, dude, you got to be happy all the time. I pushed off so many relationships, so many friends. I'll never forget a moment where, like, one of my best friends, way back in the day in Minnesota, his friend got shot. Horrible thing. And he came to the studio that night. This is how much of an asshole I was in my positivity. He's all sad. And I'm like, not in my studio, bro. You got to put a smile on your face. And that's f***ed up, right?
Wow.
I should have been giving him a hug. I should have been saying it's okay to cry, bro. Like, I got you, but I was like, life is a gift, motherfucker. You're here, you know? And I'm not going to say that was right, but I will say that in that time, in my mindset, that was right. It was about celebrate life, celebrate that you knew your friend, and you wouldn't trade those memories for anything. So being sad, you got to know that person. That's all you got. And I don't think that's wrong, but I do think that missing the human experience is just terrible.
Well, because it could have also given you a whole different record, right? Like, if you could have let the room go in a whole different direction, like, who knows what could have come out of it, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I got to say, where we are now with Karma, I think it is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I love it. They sent us the song, and I played it, and I never say these type of things, but, like, I actually, like, the hair stood up on my arms. I got goosebumps. I felt like I was back in middle school and high school listening to pop punk. I think it's incredible. I love it so much.
Dude, thank you. Seriously. Thank you. Yeah. That feels really good. You guys are the first people to have given me some input back because no one's heard it really yet. So that's amazing. Thank you for that, bro.
Zach Sang Show.
I got to hit pause real quick to talk about trains. I know it can be frustrating if you're running late or if you're in a hurry to find yourself at a railway crossing waiting for a train. And I get it. Like, the signals could be going and you could be thinking to yourself, maybe I'll sneak across. I'll make it. No, don't do that. Even if you feel a bit tempted to try to sneak across those tracks, stop yourself. Don't do it ever. To the naked eye, trains often appear way further away and moving slower than they are. These things cannot stop quickly. Okay. Even if the engineer hits the emergency brake right away, the train could take over a mile to stop. Over a mile. By that time, it's too late, and the results really could be a deadly crash. Come on. The point is, you can't know how quickly the train will arrive. So if the signals are on, the train is on the way. It's really that easy. And you just need to remember one thing. Stop. Trains cannot.
Zach Sang Show.
Question. Pop punk isn't dead, right? And how would you categorize it? Punk rock, pop punk? What, or do you even give it about a label?
Yeah, I mean, I'm is pop punk dead? Like, hell no. Was it dead? Like, yeah, unfortunately it was, bro. I mean, I grew up with Newfound Glory, Blink 182. I can go on and on. Every Drive Through Records band.
I'm a child of Warped Tour and Bamboozle.
I mean, bro, Bamboozle, man. I played Bamboozle. The great thing is I went from the crowd of all those things to the stage. Like, I was really there, and then I really played in those bands and shit. But, like, yes. Was pop punk dead? Yeah, I do feel like it was. Unjustly, should it have been? No, I always felt like that music was special. But I don't know if it was being I mean, that happens to all music. That's just what it is. Music comes and goes, man. And, like, thank God it came back. That's all I can say about that. And shout out my brother Kells for pushing a new era of it. But that being said, it was still being made that whole time. So it's definitely back. But as far as, like, my music, like, yeah, Karma, total pop punk. Starts with a gang vocal and acoustic guitar. Like, that's pop punk 101. Legit.
It starts with the chants. I had that written down. It's awesome.
It's a gang vocals. Like, we were all so obsessed with gang vocals back in the day. Like, that was our shit. So me and John Feldman, who I made this whole record with, who he produced, like, I just love those full circle moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, John Feldman produced, for instance, like, the first Used album. And that album changed my life. Absolutely changed my life, bro. That was the first time that I really loved screaming on a song, you know, because I wasn't typically a screamo kid. And then I heard the Used and I was like, oh my God, there's so much emotion in this scream. It's not just like, oh, it's like, and like, dude, it just changed me. So Feldman recorded that album. Not only is he the singer of Goldfinger, like, another amazing thing, but like, I made this album with him and I was like, yo, we're going for the jugular on all this shit. Like, I want to take what everything he knows, and then I want to take everything I know, which, like, I'm all about right now. I really am. I don't really like to live in the past as far as, like, I want this to sound like a song from the 70s. Like, I'm really into being like, let's take my favorite from that and make it sound like now, you know?
So what changes? Because you really do have this very unique understanding of the music scene, right? Like, you were a drummer in two bands, one of them being Four Letter Lie. And, like, even as a drummer, you bring a unique perspective to the creative process, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're, dude, a drummer turned songwriter. Or did,
dude,
you?
It's really phenomenal. It took me 10 years to play drums on a Mod Sun song. Like, I don't know how twisted that was. I don't know why it happened like that. I know that I've been waiting to be with the perfect person to do it. And whether it was going to be Travis Barker or John Feldman, I knew in my head it was going to be one of them. And instead, what I did is I had Travis Barker play on one of my songs like 4 years ago. We did a song together. Okay. And he played drums on my song. That was the first time I ever had real drums on a Mod Sun song. And then I did no real drums. And then finally, in the studio for this album, I played drums on every song, and I played on Travis Barker's drum kit, which is just like, I mean, at a certain point, you can't just be like, fucking full circle moment. Like, at a certain point, you got to be like, this movie is crazy. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, simulation. I don't know.
What kept you from playing on your own records for so long, though?
I guess a lot of me was like, dude, I guess I'm going to be hyper honest with you right now, because, like, there's no need for me to sound cool. Like, I guess I was a little, I don't want to say, embarrassed isn't the right word. Like, I don't want to say embarrassed, but I didn't realize how cool it was to be a part of my youth. I didn't know, because I didn't get love for doing that when I was doing it. When I was in high school, dressing weird, being emo, when I was that half and half hair color, I didn't get love. That wasn't cool. I got shit on every day. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't ever know how cool it was, man. And if Lil Peep and people like that and Juice WRLD loving those things and really helping bring back this quote unquote emo, I may have never known how cool my youth was. Like, I'm a skater, dude. I skipped school to skate. I wore Blink 182 shirts and Dickie shorts down to my ankles. That was me. And I didn't think it was cool, because I got made fun of, dude. So like growing up, I was like every bio that was written about Mod Sun, like don't write scary kids. Don't write four letter lie. Don't write came from this post hardcore emo thing. Don't write that. Stop writing it, I actually said to these people. Wow. Because I was like, I guess maybe it is embarrassment. Maybe I just don't want to say it, but maybe it was, I was like embarrassed because like I didn't get love for that, bro. So it was brand new. And now when I look at my high school pictures and I look at myself, I'm like, how did I go this far away to come right back? Like, bro, 2 years ago, all those articles or anything that was about Mod Sun that said crackhead looks like a crackhead. Like, I'm going to be honest. I did every drug but crack and heroin. But, like, I was never a crackhead. But I got labeled crackhead and all this shit. Like, I looked different as hell. And to be end up where I am now, I went so far from the start to get back there.
You really have, I mean, yeah, it's kind of wild because in between that you do have, like, you have long hair at one point, right? Like, were you
super long?
Yeah.
Super long.
So are you, are you saying you kind of got into rap because you didn't think pop punk was cool anymore? Is that the reason you started rapping?
Well, the real reason why I started rapping was because, I mean, not only just like, the poetry, the love that I have for poetry is not at all new. You know, I've always loved poetry. I was reading Charles Bukowski when I was in ninth grade and like that. So like, I've been a big fan of words like that. And where I came from in Minnesota, there was like this whole underground rap scene. There's this guy named Idea and Abilities. There's this guy named Atmosphere. There's this guy named POS. There's this guy named Brother Ali. And like, dude, it was like, it was the most different kind of shit that I heard that was literally a great departure from what I'm doing. Because when I say, like, bro, my first bands that I was in was pop punk, super pop punk. Then I got into like the double pedal. That shit. I wasn't really the biggest fan of that shit. I just love playing drums. Under Oath, that band rocked. I fucking loved Under Oath, and the bands that I was in were kind of like that. Scary Kids, legendary band. That shit was fun, but like, I wanted to really get down to like the words, bro. And like, I really, really was just obsessed with how these people could string apart all these amazing sentences. And yeah, like my local scene like kind of made me want to rap. And then, dude, like I was good at it, right? Like I was good at it. So I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. I've always wanted to, the biggest reason I departed was because I wanted to stop just speaking with my hands and my feet. I mean, I had to stop just using my hands and my feet to speak because I had too much to say. And, you know, my mom fucked me up because she did tell me I couldn't sing, you know, but then when I would rap, all my friends would be like, you can rap, motherfucking rap. And if someone tells you you can't sing, like you, the bird inside you that can sing dies.
How do you give it mouth to mouth? How do you revive the bird?
Well, practice, a lot of practice, a lot of long, 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 long nights in the studio, me recording myself. And then the biggest thing, which is a great just tool for life in general, is just like, dude, you got to remove that embarrassment bone from your body at some point. If you're going to be a true superstar or a true performer, you have to be able to know you're going to take embarrassment over failure any day. Any day. And like, if you're going to be in the studio and you got 20 people in front of you, if you walk up to the mic and you go like this, like, you're not going to make it. If you walk up and go like this, it's like, all right, let's go. This is going to give it all we got. Like, I'm going to take embarrassment every time. And once I realized that, I was like, tell me I suck, bro, because I'm going to figure it out. I don't need to be perfect, man. I hate perfection. So like, you know, is accepting that too. Hate perfection, man.
Would you say your music before you put it out is as perfect as it could be?
Oh, not anymore. No, no. I don't try to kill the magic, man. Like perfect in the terms of like, do I give it my all? And am I like there fully present? That's the biggest thing, is being fully present now. I feel very confident that I'm giving it all I have. And, you know, one of my biggest tips in the studio is like, shut up and let God speak. Like, I say that all the time. And I'm just like, man, shut up. I'm just going to go in there and like, let it happen. Stop it. Just stop thinking and create. And like that was my take on this whole album. I mean, this album was made in 8 sessions. I mean, we were doing 3 songs a session. It's like 8 sessions over 2 weeks.
Whoa.
And yeah, bro, straight up. And like, also a big change was like, maybe we'll just proceed. I'm trying so hard not to talk too much now lately.
No,
guys.
No. Please keep talking.
I made this whole album. Bro, this is crazy. I made this whole album from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
I was going to ask how much your schedule has changed since becoming sober.
Yeah, I move with the sun now. I think that's why I look so much different, is that I used to move with the moon. The sun would be going down and I would be getting up. And then as the moon went like this, this was my trajectory of my workday. Okay, and then the sun's coming out and I'm going down. Now it's like sun's coming up and I'm moving with the sun. And it's changed my music. It's changed the way I look. It's changed my attitude. I'm a little bit like, I'm not hippy dippy at the point where I'm like, give me my crystals and all this, you know. But I am very like, there's very special things going out here. Moving with the sun, there's something different that happens to a person, I believe.
Are you making the best music you've ever made?
Yeah, without a doubt, hands down. Yeah.
Doesn't Eminem work that way? Has anybody heard that?
Yeah, yeah. There's a classic thing about Akon talking about Eminem.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Akon said he would want to work with Eminem, and Eminem's like, I come in at 9, I leave at 5 or 6, and then I come back the next day. I work a 9 to 5.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't really put Eminem over here. We MGK all the way, but you know what I'm saying?
But, you know.
Oh, that's right. Jeez. You just casually stepped in that one.
Hey, it's all right, bro. It's all right. But listen,
how cool is that to even be on a side of a beef of that stature, right? How cool is it to be like, even have to be on a side of one of them, you know, in life, that you've reached a point where like, you're very close to an Eminem Machine Gun Kelly type beef situation.
He's obsessed. He's obsessed with Kells. So,
dude, it's crazy. And he's an icon. He's a living legend.
Kells is Eminem's favorite rapper. You can quote me on that.
I want to know how and why pop punk becomes the right vessel for the stories that you want to tell. Because obviously, rapping is where it starts, right? It starts with your hands and your feet. Then it moves to rapping. And now it's moved to a totally different thing.
I think my album as a full, it's not really a whole pop punk thing. There's definitely the idea of, you know, pop punk, again, is very major. It's very upbeat and major chords. Alternative music is mainly the difference between those two genres, if anything, is the difference between major and minor in a lot of ways. So like a lot of my songs on this album are actually like focused on like a minor take on songs. Very like touching grunge, touching Oasis, touching the Smiths. I'm the biggest fan of a dichotomy, like period. Like I love the new me, writing wise, because I don't feel one-sided or sheltered that I have to talk about a certain thing. So I love to take like what the Smiths did so well, which was they'd take like this maybe happy sounding song and write these dreary fucking lyrics on it. So I kind of like to take that position and do the opposite and take like these dreary sounding songs and make like this epic, battle sounding song, like sounding like you're on the front line of a war and you don't know if you're going to win until then, you know?
How does a record start for you? Like, or do you start with the story you want to tell? Is it like,
it was like, there's so many different chapters of how I've done this. You know, it all started in a notebook. I think that's where it should start, with everyone learning how to count bars and all structure songs. Now, kind of what I was touching on earlier is like, if I come up with like an idea, that's all. I don't kill it. I don't kill the idea. If it pops in my head, I'm like, okay, that's our starting spot. And I don't want you to sit there and try to make a movie out of this and go, okay, now let's write the script and all. I really am so focused on knowing that, like, where I've taken myself to, I have to understand that I'm the type of artist that you're not looking to listen to my music for, like, this singer that's hitting, like, these runs and doing all this other. What you want to really get from Mod Sun is you want to feel it through the notes that I'm hitting. You want to feel it. You don't want to hear it and go, that's a singer. You want to go, I'm in this with you right now. You hear my yelling and my range go from down here to up here. And I'm really just trying to capture feeling more than a story that I'm telling. I really want to capture a feeling. And that's kind of what this whole album was just capturing those feelings. Like, the Karma song, that all started with, like, it started with a guitar part, you know, and we were in my basement. We recorded this little guitar part, and it just came to me that, like, I was like, okay, I need to find a way to not just write this, like, tainted love song where you're like, relationship broke up. I want to find a way to be like, almost be praising you, and then a way to form it out where he took a shot. So it's like the whole idea of being like, it all started from just being like, damn, I hope that girl just moves the fuck out of this city. You know, it was like that was the idea for that song. It just all started right there. I was like, I really don't want to see this person anymore. I hope they just randomly get up and move back to their hometown. And then it was like, oh, okay. Like, there we go. Like, it's about that. And then it was like, but I don't want to be so shitty on someone. So it's like, I hope you get everything you deserve. You know what I'm saying? And then it's open-ended. Karma's a herd. So it's like, I really hope, like, if you in your eyes think that you are a good person, I hope you get everything you deserve. But if not, karma's a and it's coming for you, you know? And then, like, yo, can I just say, I do want to say on this before, because I really want people to love this lyric, but, like, it's like such an ode to, like, you. I don't know, were you guys, okay, it's such an ode to, like, an amazing time of, like, Taking Back Sunday and all those bands, but it's like the first line of the lyric of the verse is like, I hope your new man gives you something that you can't get rid of. And, like, that's so up! Oh, it's so up, bro. I love it. I'm like, I'm bathing in that lyric. I just, like, I love that lyric. I think it's such, like, an ode to that, like, with my one last dying breath, I'd apologize for bleeding on your shirt. You know what I'm saying? It's like that whole feeling. Ugh.
So because it's a feeling, do you need to, like, experience this relatively close to when you're crafting the record, or can you, like, experience it and then channel it? Like, what's...
Yo, it's got to be, like, in the moment. It's definitely all in the moment. It's, like, I don't like to like, incubate things. I don't like to microwave it. You know what I'm saying? I get right to it, bro. My whole thing for the last, like, 4 years of recording music is, like, I'm not leaving till it's done. I'm not getting up from this computer till it's done. Whether I go back and make some changes is fine, but you are not going to hear a demo from Mod Sun with a verse and an idea for a hook. It just doesn't happen, bro. I'm making the thing. And then, like, I don't need to go back. I really don't. Like, if I did need to, I would, but, like, I don't need to. I really, like, lay down the whole and move on, you will know. You, and
will you scrap anything ever?
Well, I'm a songwriter, like, now even more, dude. Like, it's crazy. Like, I have a number one as a songwriter.
Yeah, so you'll pass it on. Yeah.
So I don't get to do that no more. Like, I got managers and I got these people that are like, people that write songs, like, really go their whole career with just the goal of having a number one, bro. Like, you got to keep that in mind. I'm like, I don't even got time to think about that. I'm just like, count your blessings, not your problems. So I am just sitting there like, thank you, that's so cool. But I'm like, the trajectory of a songwriter and my own career meeting up at the same time, blessed, bro. Totally blessed.
Will you give away a Mod Sun song? Sorry, Dan, I just stepped on you.
That's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all the time. It happens all the time. Like, especially to, yeah. I, especially I'm trying to close it off, but I've been known to just give away amazing songs and help out other people's careers and do that kind of thing. I give away songs all the time. Sometimes sadly I do, you know.
Well, I was gonna say, when you guys are writing Bloody Valentine, did you guys ever expect it to take off like it did?
He did. He knew it. I didn't. I was sitting there just like, cool. Like, I know how the process works too. Like, you never know if you're gonna make it down the line. You know what I'm saying? That was the start of his record. I was just like, cool, bro, this is awesome. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. It was like so late at night. He just randomly hit me up. He's like, yo, come over right. And he, you know what? He knows these, he has a premonition. There's something very strange about Cal's. Every time he's told me specifically, yo, pull out your phone and film all this. Like, it's been turned into something that, like, if you didn't have the film of it, you would have everything up. And like that night, right when I sat down, he's like, yo, I don't got that much memory on my phone. How much memory you got? I was like, I'm good, bro. And he's like, all right, you have to film the next 3 hours or however long we're here. I was like, all right, set the camera up, say less. And like, bro, the whole time, like, I'm not kidding when I say he was like, you're going to win a VMA. He said, he said more things that we're putting into the air too, that we're trying to manifest to make happen. But it's a great song. It's a great song. And you know, the fact that like the world embraced it is just like really cool. I'll just talk personally, because like, I feel like I've wrote so many amazing songs, but I've never had something that I was a part of be accepted on that big of a level, you know, big of the masses loving it, or people all around the world playing it on the radio. Like, rad, man.
Does it change the way you enter the studio at all?
I wish, bro. No, it doesn't. I wish I could be like, give me my green M&Ms only, mom. I'm going in. I'm the star. No, hell no. Like, the only way that I'm good is when I let just like those clandestine moments happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just follow the lead, dude. I just literally am on this pad. And I'm like, when I pray, I'm just like, yo, just let, like, I'm going to follow your path. Just like, give me the right shit. So it just makes me feel it. There's a vindication that comes with it, but it doesn't make me work differently. But I feel vindicated for all the songs I've written. I'm like, oh, like, I can write something that the masses will love. I'm not just like never. I'm not just going to always fall short. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and by the way, like, it wasn't that you, I guess, like a little short of the mainstream. You've had so many fans over the years, and you would sold out venues. But you're right. Like, this has cracked beyond mainstream and has essentially helped breathe a bunch of life into an entire music scene. Does that record start when you walk in, or do you walk in with ideas?
I can tell you a little bit about the process. Like, I walked in the door, and he had the beat. Travis and him were just in the studio. They made the beat, and he came back to his house, and he was gonna go to bed, and he was like, no, Mahdi, he's like, you wanna come write this song? And I was like, cool. So I showed up, and he had so, you know, a lot of it's Kells writes about the night before, you know what I'm saying? He's that kind of guy. He writes about the night before. He'll literally tell the story of it. So he was like, let's play pretend, treat this night like it'll never end. And the one other line about, like, I gotta catch a flight, can't stay tonight, I gotta catch a flight, whatever. And so he had those ideas, and then dude, we just started building it. And how I build songs, I like I said, like, no embarrassment around. I just sit there and, like, so for instance, like, that's like the melody for the verse, like, simulation just went back, sure the best I ever had. Like, so that would have started like this, like, na 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 na. Like, and then you'd be like, oh, I heard something there. You'd be like, yeah, it was the simulation just went back, sure the best I ever had. And then you're like, I see it like stairs. So I always am like, if I'm building a verse, like, I think it's right to go down the stairs again. So simulation just went bad, but you're the best I ever had. Like handprints in wet cement, she touched me, it's permanent. In my head, I couldn't hear anything you said, but in my head, I'm calling you girlfriend. What the f***? And I don't do fake love, but I'll take, right? So it's like you're going up the stairs and you got to see it like, you got to see it like that to know how you're going to make the most tension build up to triumph and, yeah, you know, build a hook.
And I remember when that song first dropped, I texted so many of my friends that I went to high school with, and I was like, dude, guys, you got to hear this. They nailed it. They nailed it. I said, they're bringing it back, and they nailed it on this song.
Yo, Kel's a visionary, man. Like, he knew it. He wanted, like, this crazy bridge. Like, the song was done to me without a bridge. I'm like, Kel's is a f***ing bridge guy. He loves these bridges, bro. And, like, I think that like, brought, like, a whole other life to the song. And, like, yeah, man, it's special. But I had no idea. I literally had no idea. I really didn't.
Now, you guys are taking the Tickets to My Downfall album and turning it into some sort of a movie, right?
Yeah, like, that's where I'm legit at right now. Like, I'm in this big editing studio right now. I've been in here 12 hours a day for the last 10 days, bro. It's like, it's crazy. But yeah, it's a full feature. Yeah, so it's like a full-length movie and, like, real actors in it. And, bro, really next level. I couldn't do it justice.
It's crazy.
If I told you. It's like a new style of a musical, but in the most really punk rock, timeless story, also touching like Greek tragedy a little bit, you know? I don't know if he said this, but no. It kind of just touches like a whole syndrome of a tortured artist, you know?
And what is your role? Are you directing, editing?
I mean, yeah, keeping? No, I me and Kels wrote it. So we wrote it. We've been writing movies lately. This is the second one that we got to write, but casual. We wrote it. And then we both directed it. We're not the ones with our hands on the computer doing the chopping, but we're in here editing it with them. Kels has got a hell of a job right now because he's editing it while shooting movies, and he's crazy. So, hardest worker I know. But yeah, bro, it's gonna be a really, really special thing, and just like the duality of us together is great, because it's like I'm like purely like, you know, the movie Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That's what the inside of my mind looks like, is those sets, right? Kels is very theatrical and critical and amazing with dialogue and direct. He's been on so many sets that he's great with directing dialogue. And it's just like a really duality of these two worlds that we see in our head. And dude, it came out amazing. And I just can't wait, dude.
I mean, I saw photos of the two of you when you were very, very young. You've known each other, I mean, a long time. Do you remember when you first met?
Yeah, I remember the exact moment. There's like a photo of the exact moment that we met. Yeah. We met on Warped Tour. 2011 or 12? Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, and that was when we met. So, I mean, like, yeah, we're almost at a decade of friendship together. We were friends the second we met, the absolute second we met. And then, man, we've gone through every chapter you can go through together.
I saw Lil Huddy was a part of this
movie.
How'd you guys find him? Or are you guys cool with him?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are now, like, after the movie, we all, obviously, you get, like, a special connection with people when you're on set with them for a number of days, but, dude, we knew, it's just one of those things, man, like, it's, like, just following the premonition, like, we 100% picked him. I'm just gonna start like that. We 100% picked him to be the role. We had a couple other people in mind as well. And, like, everything was telling us that, like, he was going to be the perfect. First off, I can tell you why I personally wanted him for sure. It's because, like, I was like, yo, I'm obsessed with clothing. And, like, I love, like, being creative director and wardrobe and all that. I was like, I can dress this kid, like, amazing. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I can make him. That was my big thing. I was like, I can make him look like the character. 100%. I can, Kels. And Kels was like, he's got to be able to act, man. Like, he's really got to be able to act. And Kel's, like, really put him through, like, a little bit to make sure he could. And, like, dude, this kid's a natural. 100% of natural. This is going to start a whole, if he chooses to, this will start a whole career for him in acting. He's a natural. I don't know if Kels has said the other lead, so I'm not going to say it, but it's a huge, 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 huge actress. And he stood his own toe-to-toe to her. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the obvious guess would be Megan Fox, but I don't, I feel like it's not.
It's not.
No,
it's
you
not.
Can't.
But good guess.
You can't poop where you eat.
Trust me, we do way too much with all that. Yeah. Yeah, we got a whole new phase. We got to keep it close.
I mean, so he directed the Karma video.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly. Is it? You go from partners. I mean, you're still partners in that moment, right? But you trust his vision. And if he gives you direction, you have to take it. Do you push back?
Have to. I mean, yo, this dude's process is one of a kind. Okay. He's a one of a kind dude when it comes to this process. You could ask anyone in his life, like, that works with him. He's got a one of a kind process. And so, like, this is like a role reversal for us because I've directed videos for him. So we were just like, yo, basically on this journey, I'm going to be honest with you, like on this journey of dropping this new album, Kels is my best friend in the whole world. Like, he's my absolute best friend. And he sees me a different way than all of you, everyone out there. He sees me a different way. And he's very vocal about this. He's like, I need the world to see you through my eyes. This has to be a different moment. This cannot be the same Mod Sun video. This has to be something. Because he's like, why the fuck would I direct it? You're an amazing director. Why the fuck would I come in and just do something that you could do? Like, I'm taking you in a different route. And he's got me, like, really, really pushing myself to be, like, the most, quote-unquote, like, naked version of myself. He's basically like, yo, if we stripped away everything, bro, all your crazy clothes, all your tattoos, your hair, everything, like, how the f- can we make the world love that person? You know, no overcompensation, just straight authenticity. Because he's like, when I meet you and when I'm around you and when I see you and you come over to my house, he's like, you're art, bro, you're f- art. And I need the world to see this like that and not see this like, you know, he hates Model Son. Let's just say that. He hates anything of me being like in the camera, like, bro, no. He's like, pretty boy shit. We need this different Mod Son. So like, you know, So what I was saying is this whole album, the reason I'm dropping Karma first is because Kels was like, that's the song you're dropping first. He's like, that's the one. He's like, I don't want to hear any discrepancy. I don't want to hear you even think about other ideas. He's like, that's the best Mod Sun song and you got to come out swinging and this is the way you're going to do it. And like, I could obviously be like, no, fuck you, I'm going to do it this way. But I believe him fully. And it's just like, the first time in my life that I've had the chance to like take advice from other people. It's been so finger on the pulse where I wouldn't even give you a chance to give me your advice, you know? So it's nice. It's a new process.
And he's pushing you in a way that only a friend could because he genuinely cares.
Yes. And because if anyone else talked to me in the ways that he does sometimes, I'm like, but it's Kels. It's all from a place of love, man. And wanting the absolute best for me. And like, that's the biggest, that's like the most fortunate thing about it all is that like I really do at the end of the day, all of this is going to go great. I already know that. It's all going to go great, man. I have faith, baby. It's all going to go great. But even if something happened, like to know that I have a friend that truly wants to like show the world who they think I am, that's great, man. That's rock, you know?
Karma is a single. There's a link in the description. You need to listen. Please do.
I had one question about the lyrics. You kind of seem like you're mocking yourself when you say, are you really over your ex?
Yes. Yes, exactly, bro. Tongue in cheek, self-deprecation. Yes.
Well, are you? Is that you saying you're not really over the person you're singing about?
Oh, my God. I mean, I get closer and closer every day. I've been with some... people that have wanted the pureness of my heart, I believe. And so I have curses on me and all kinds of things I'm trying to shake off and revamp myself. So, I mean, dude, I'm a human being. I, Yeah, dude, I'm also a Pisces and a lover. And so, like, dude, all the people that have been in my life, like, they still affect me. You know, I've had friendships that fell out when I was in bands when I was 16, and I still think about those kids like, damn, you know? And so, yeah, am I over her? Like, I don't be thinking about her like, oh, I hope she's not with a new guy. But do I still think about her late at night when I'm sitting in bed? Do I still wake up and that thoughts in my head? Yeah, it happens. It happens.
There was another question I wanted to follow up on from earlier. Zach, were you going to say something?
No.
Were you?
No. I mean, of course, I can always say something, but you go.
Well, there was two questions I had because earlier you said two things. And the first one was you said you have a bunch of your idols tattooed on your arm. Do you view them differently now after going through everything you did and coming out better?
Yeah, in a sense. In a sense, I do because I – know that my personal experience is looking up to them because, I mean, dude, the way they covered Jim Morrison, the way they covered Janis Joplin, the way they cover Miles Davis is just chaotic, crazy, and they forget about the intricacies and the intelligence and the beauty a lot of the time. So I look at, like, me seeing Jim Morrison in leather pants, no shirt on, standing on top of a car on acid on Sunset. I look at that a little differently now. But in the eyes of me a couple years ago, that was all I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. All I wanted to be, man. I thought that was the coolest of cool. And in the most respectful way, bro, I'm not anti-drugs. I'm not, like, anti-drinking. I'm all about – I believe that people should experiment, you know what I'm saying? And like, dude, don't do heroin. Pills are awful. There's drugs that are the devil. Cocaine almost killed me. Liquor was my trying to come down from that. Almost killed me. My dad just passed away from liquor a few months ago. Like, there's a lot of bad that comes with this. But man, I'm not ever going to sit here and preach to you like, you got to stop doing this. Like, you know. But I do want to be vocal about these things because I do want to be a new face of this 27 plus club, you know? It's you know, and I think that that's really important is to be like, yo, yeah, Jim Morrison's still the Lizard King. He's still my idol, but I don't think he wanted to die. Well, I don't think he wanted to die.
You know? Census Fail has that lyric. It says, I want to die like Jim Morrison, a fucking rock star.
I love that album too. That's the album with the mirror and the fire, right?
Yeah,
the
guy in the suit. Let it. It's probably the album I listened to.
Let it unfold, yo! Oh my god, when that first video dropped and they're playing in like New Jersey. Oh my god! I love that.
Yeah. When you keep talking about Jim Morrison, that's what it reminds me of because they sing about it too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wanted to. As soon as I lived past 27, man, I really. I think that just a shift in me happened anyway, where I was like, I want to represent something different. And I didn't do it for a while. It took a while until I was like 31 or something. I'm 33 now. But yeah, I definitely want to be vocal about it, but I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be this dude that's like, every time he comes on something, he's like, oh, I'm sober. I don't do this. Like, you know, I just think that there is an importance to be like, hey kids, like, I want you to live. I want you to live long and like, yo, be very focused on who your idols are. You know what I'm saying? Be careful sometimes of who your idols are. And that's not on anyone, but like definitely be careful who your idols are because a lot of those people that do end up passing away, in my heart, I don't believe they wanted to die. You know?
Where does cannabis fall in your life?
Yeah. So I still smoke every day. I still smoke weed. I can tell you like personally for me like I've been prescribed my whole life to take medication over the counter and I never have and personally for me just a choice like I let marijuana fill that void for me and marijuana really helps me like that you know my mom freaks out when she smokes weed so I know that it's not for everyone but it really does help me. And, you know, I don't classify that as a hard drug. So I know in a lot of cases that there should be the word clean used as opposed to sober. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like me not doing hard drugs and me not doing alcohol is my sobriety, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, I believe cannabis is a medicine, not a drug. So what am I? Who am I?
I believe that as well. I do honestly believe that. So fortunate enough, I live in California and it really is.
And it really is life-changing. It really, in the best possible ways, it could be really life-changing.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people become the best version of themselves. Just
like, does your mom want to smoke and she just happens to get paranoid? Or, like, does she need to smoke for, like, health reasons?
I would love to, like, talk some mom about it. It's so funny. Like, my mom's crazy, bro. My mom's fucking an angel. But, like, y'all, I was raised by – my dad was, like, a Hell's Angels motorcycle riding mother. My mom was the like cheerleader, good girl in school. He came through on the back of his motorcycle, rode her away, and she became a bad girl. They were like Bonnie and Clyde. So like, whoa. My mom just like, she had, let's just say she had all their vices.
Got it. but cannabis didn't sit well. She couldn't handle cannabis.
No, but she'll you up with a gin and tonic though, my G. I swear to God. And with some other, I can't put my mom out there like that, but I will say she can drink anyone I've met under the table, including me, bro. Straight up.
Well, quick question off that. How do you still party and go out and you surround yourself with people that may be doing those things and stay clean?
Off and on I have nights, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. Like I have a chemical imbalance in my brain that like I obviously know that like when I'm getting into certain moods, like there's things that are going to affect it and make it worse. So like I definitely lately, because I don't want to slip up, this doesn't get necessarily easier, to be honest. It really hasn't for me. It's not like all of a sudden it's just like easy as like there was times last month where I was just like really, really down about not being able to leave my body. You know, I felt so stuck in my fucking body, guys. Like I just wanted to get out. And luckily I have like a great group of people around me internally, like at my house, like like I needed support. So my sister is an angel and she kind of upended her life in a way and kind of moved out here to California from Minnesota. And then I have two of my, I call them my sons, man, who are just with me everywhere. But I have a great three people that are almost, one of them has to be with me at all times, basically. And they just like are there for me if I'm feeling a certain way because they can tell my vibes change. So it's hard, but I push myself to be the person that's able to tell you that, like, yo, you're going to reintroduce what fun is into your life. And, like, I don't go into these places with the idea at all, like, oh, this would be more fun if I was f***ed up. I actually forget about it now. A lot of the time, I'll forget that, like, I even drink. I'll wake up in the morning almost every morning and forget that I drink coffee, you know? And then I'm like, holy sh**, I get to drink coffee. Let's go. Like, I forget and I get in there, but I want to be, again, a face of someone that's like, yo, you can totally manage to do everything that you did before. You can be in the room. Someone can fucking line up a goddamn chop down an 8-ball and you can sit there and be like, not judge them. You can. You absolutely can. Is it a challenge? Yeah. But what's life without that, bro? What is life without that, man? It's like, I want to be in the room with these, I mean, I want those situations. I applaud them because I go home feeling like, damn, bro, you are reinventing the rock star, baby. Like, let's go. I'm out here slamming Shirley Temple's more hype than all these motherfuckers. I swear to God, yo, you'll see. I'll be down there on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm standing on the chairs, slamming Shirley Temple's, getting everyone in that motherfucker hype. They're all slamming whiskey, sitting there like this. Drinking tequila like this, I'm like, what? I'm good, you know.
But I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. Really, seriously, you are reinventing the rock star, and it's pretty awesome, dude.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that.
Do you have a date? Do you have a date for this album?
I do. It's before the end of the year. It's before the end of the year.
Whoa.
So we're 100% getting it before the end of the year. And once Karma comes out, which depending on when this airs, it's out or coming out. Yeah. October 30th, it's out. Basically, Halloween release. What up? Once that starts, dude, the music's going to keep coming. And the visuals are going to keep coming. And everything is focused on this, like, rollout to be all the things that I've missed in the past, you know, all the little elements that I forgot to cover, all the not going. There's a way that I want to do this content, man. Like, I say movie every day 1,000 times a day because, like, I really think that, like, everything that I put out is, like, a part of this giant story. And, like, I really want my VH1 Behind the Music to be fire, bro. So, like, I'm, like, you know, hyper-focused on figuring out the best way to be that dude that's releasing the content for you, but doing it in, like, this artistic, cool way. And, I'm just excited to get this going, but the album's going to drop before the end of the year. Songs are going to keep coming.
There's going to be a link in the description to Karma. And just so you know, I remember Way Too Much is one of my favorite songs. Great. Record.
Bro, you remember hanging out at Emo Night that one night?
Yeah, I do.
That was the first time I met you. Bro, hey, I got mad love for you. Like, I was actually having a conversation with my boy the other day, and I was like, one of my sons, he makes music too. I'm going to send you his link. He's obsessed with you, bro. He's watched everything you've ever done, literally. So when he's like, you're going on Zach's thing? Oh my God, it's like a rite of passage. And I was like, dude, I know. I really think you're like a one-of-one, like, journalist out here. I think you actually give a f- about being like a journalist, and I think that's such like a lost art, bro, for real. I think that you're like a great dude. I think Howard Stern would f- you. That's what I'm trying to say. Who's one of the goats, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sweating, my palms are very sweaty, but I say thank you. And yeah, thank you so much. Howard Stern is my hero, and I listen to him every day. Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
See, I could connect that. I connected that, but I'm just like, yo, I think you really take it all the way, bro. And I like have mad love for you, and I enjoy watching everything you do. So, like, you know, bravo for that from all the artists out there.
Well, I really appreciate it. And it's people like you that make this job really incredibly rewarding and also really informative and fresh every day. And I'm super blessed. I mean, every day I get to walk away with new knowledge and new stories, and I get to really understand people. And I thank you for sharing your story. And I know it's only been an hour, but I think we got a really nice glimpse for now. But this
is we got to do this again when I get to come into the studio and all that.
Please, open door policy whenever you want, and please send me your son's link and tell him I say hi. And
I'm going to shout out Lost in Vegas, yo! You made it in the interview, baby.
Send you love, love to you, Mod Son. Really, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to my team for setting this up too. I'm really grateful for all of them. Shout out Dave Beam. Shout out Jimmy B. Shout out my sister Danielle. I love you all. My managers, all that. I just have to do that now, bro.
I love it. You keep thriving in your energy. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it today. And hey, you made my day a lot brighter. So I appreciate it.
Love it, bro. Thank you for doing this, everybody. Karma is coming. Mod Son, album coming soon. I love you all. Hey, next time we'll come on and I'll tell you the album name, dude. It's crazy.
Oh, please, please, please. Yeah. Open door policy whenever you want. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you, dude. Thank you.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.